London Calling. David here. Realized about an hour ago that twice in the last 4 days, I've looked at this business of the importance of names, place names. Hadn't realized I'd done it quite so often. Well, look, let's make it a hat trick. Let's do some more with that. And maybe in the process, we'll bring out a second key. Sometimes you can fit these things together. Now, those first two place names that we looked at were high and mighty ones. They were important ones, Chelsea and Kensington. Today, I want to look at a not well-known name at all, the name of a small street. And this is over in the city of London, just a little bit to the south of St. Paul's Cathedral. There's a street called Carter Lane. It's an east-west street. It looks completely insignificant, unimportant today. But in fact, if you're exploring around in that area, the old medieval quarter, what you soon enough discover is that Carter Lane is the biggest by quite a ways, the widest street in the medieval quarter. And when you're reading a street, reading a London street, sometimes the line of the street is important. The name is very often important. The narrowness or width of the street. But so here we can work with both the name, Carter Lane. What that's telling us is that a long time ago, carts, horses and carts, wagons, horse-drawn vehicles, went back and forth along that lane. And the width of the street, even though it's narrow by modern standards, that testifies to that as well. There are, a good few streets in that old medieval district that are just absolutely tiny. Some of them are so narrow, you can't open an umbrella in them. And for that matter, if you look at an old map of London, there's a mid-16th century map, you quickly enough discover that Carter Lane was the main east-west thoroughfare there in the city. The street that we all know today, the big street that winds around immediately to the south of St. Paul's Cathedral, that wasn't there in Shakespeare's day. So yeah, it turns out that this obscure, by our standards, small London street was actually quite important in, Shakespeare's day. Carter Lane, horses and carts going along it. But it's fun to discover, to see where you can go with a place name. And this is a classic instance. It's in Carter Lane that there stood an inn called The Bell. It was a coaching inn. And it was there one October day in 1598, October 26th to be exact, that a Richard Queeny, it's spelled Quiney but pronounced Queeny, wrote a letter to William Shakespeare. And it's the only letter extant. It's the only letter that has survived. It's in the museum in Stratford. Now, we think that this letter wasn't actually sent because it was found in Queeny's possessions when he died. But Stratford was a small town. They would have known one another, etc., etc. In fact, Shakespeare's daughter married one of Queeny's sons in due course. The letter itself, it's a begging letter. Queeny's asking Shakespeare to give £30 to his hometown, presumably some development, something civic, etc., etc. So Shakespeare had already made a name for himself by this time. So here's this local come from Stratford to track down the famous boy who'd made good in the big city, and to see if he could hit him up for some money for his hometown. Now, it's at this inn that Queeny is staying when he writes this letter. And if you think about the position of Carter Lane and The Bell, It's right on the western edge of London, just inside the Western Gate, Ludgate, and thus there would have been other inns there, probably quite a few inns. And that meant, amongst other things, a lot of horses, and that in turn meant a lot of horse manure and horse urine, horse piss, stale, as it was known in those days. The whole business of the stench of London is important. It was said that in Shakespeare's day, downwind, you could smell London from 20 miles away. That's why, and this is true of most European cities, the rich move to the west. It's because of the prevailing winds. They blow west-east. You did not want to live downwind from London. But there's a tiny little left turn very near the Bell, and that is called Addle Street. And it turns out that Addle Street meant, effectively, full of horse urine, full of horse piss. Now, what does this have to do with Shakespeare? Well, let's think for a minute about his great contemporary, Ben Jonson. Ben Jonson really had a good classical education. He went to Westminster School, so he was well-schooled in the Greek and Latin masters, and he was, in fact, going to go on to Cambridge. That was not Shakespeare's education. It was a good education that Shakespeare had. He went to the local grammar school, but and he knew Ovid, for example. He knew some of the classic writers, but he didn't know them the way Jonson knew them. And it's fair to say of Jonson that sometimes his plays smell of the lamp. That's the expression. He's very learned, and sometimes he's showing off a bit. He's drawing on that wide reading, those classical authors, etc., etc. Shakespeare does this as well, but not nearly as much. What does Shakespeare draw on? He's drawing on what his eyes and his ears and his nose and sometimes even his sense of touch, what they're telling him. So you've got this inn on Carter Lane. You've got this lane, this street that is full of horse manure and puddles of urine, etc., etc. And anybody in London, of course, you had to be very careful where you walked. You probably had to put something up to cover your nose because of the stench of the place. And sure enough, this observation of real life works its way into his dramatic writing. It's the most wonderful moment. It's a moment in Antony and Cleopatra, which this is a play that has two poles. One is Rome, and the other is Egypt. And what, as you all know, what's happened is that one of the great triumvirate, Mark Antony, has fallen for this Egyptian queen. He's gone native. He's fallen for the soft beds of Egypt. And back in Rome, and really that dichotomy, it's almost masculine, feminine, Egypt being feminine, if you will, and Rome, it's so kind of butch and martial and masculine. And the other two members, notably, of course, Caesar, not Julius Caesar, but the younger Caesar, who's a real piece of work, he's an unpleasant piece of work, they've got their hands full. There's all kinds of rebellions going on, and they're not best pleased with Mark Antony. They just think he's gone to rack and ruin. He's gone soft. They say he's, you know, he's like a girl. He's feminine. And they really want him to get his act together, and they need him back in Rome to help put down these various rebellions that have sprung up. And this during this scene, and Antony is not there. He is in Egypt. But during this scene in Rome, these couriers just keep bursting in, coming in with more and more bad news. And finally, Caesar can bear it no longer, and he addresses Antony. Antony, of course, is hundreds of kilometers away. He's in Egypt. But Caesar says, "Antony, leave thy lascivious wassails. When thou once was beaten from Medina, where thou slewest Tarsius and Parsa, consuls, at thy heel did famine follow, whom thou fought against, though daintily brought up, with patience more than savages could suffer. Thou didst drink the stale of horses, and the gilded puddle which beasts would cough at." Well, he's remembering an incident in Antony's career. Antony was in a big battle, and they lost. He was defeated, and he's on his trying to get out of there, and been stripped down of everything. Doesn't even have a canteen of water, famine is at their heels, and it's a way of he talks about Antony drinking the stale of horses. He said, "You drank horse piss." He drank horse piss. And he drank the gilded puddle, which beasts would cough at. And that's his way of saying, what a man this was. What a hard man. What a strong guy this was. And look what he's become. And you can just see that Shakespeare probably dodging puddles in Carter Lane, puddles that were an Addle Street, a street that meant full of horse piss, will have stunk. And perhaps even the thought flashed through his mind, as sometimes really happens, ooh, how, you know, the attraction of repulsion, how awful all of that is. Ugh, can you imagine drinking that stuff? So that's probably... that's real life. That's not come out of a book by a long-dead Roman or Greek author. But he's found the right image, the perfect image. And it's London. It's everyday, ordinary London that feeds through into really lights up, illuminates a man's character and this wonderful dramatic moment in this great, great play. Okay, well, that's enough for me tonight. Catch up with you tomorrow.